and welcome to this, the fourth episode of Brashcast with me, Liam Pritchard, and as always, Ross.
Hello.
I've given up on saying Ross Rame because every time I say it, I fuck it up.
It's so okay.
It's going to be Ross.
I'm not particularly keen on my surname anyway, so.
Oh, that's okay. It's surname shit, we're just going to leave it as Ross. it makes sound more important anyway, just Ross is fine.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to give a warning now. If I disappear for something other than a beer, it's probably because I need to go to the toilet. I've got a bit of a bad stomach. And nature's not so much calling at the moment.
Are we really telling the listeners this?
It's not calling so much as demanding. Not many podcasts will open with chat about bowel movements, but I think, you know, why not? Let's go for it. We're there. Yeah. We've cleared that up.
We're raising awareness.
Yeah. We don't expect anything. It's fine. It's natural. I've just got a bit of an iffy stomach. These things happen. So if I do disappear, that's the reason. I mean, realistically, I could just pause. And I wouldn't have to tell you this, but no, the show's got to go on. We're just going to keep with it.
Yes,
of course. Live is live, that's it.
Otherwise, you may just hear me go,
oh, yeah, if you hear something, then mistakes have happened. But once I press the red button, once we're recording, that's it. We're going until the end.
I don't know if the listeners can tell, but we are very much unedited.
Completely unedited. Like,
you're getting the full story here.
And it really is the full story. I mean, I've opened with Val. The thing is...
We've not used the word opened, but...
Yeah, I know, it's a bad choice of words. But the good thing is... Now that we've got through that, if you're still listening to this, we can get away with fucking anything. That we are not going to offend these people. If they can put up with me talking about, you know, my bowel movements for the first minute of a podcast, we've got them. We have got them. So we'll just go from there. Well, from bowel movements, we'll go straight to Wii U.
I like it.
See, out of a segue there. The prices have come out this week. What is it, like $250 for the basic, $300 for the classier model?
Yeah.
The 32 gig.
Was it not $200 and $250?
I thought it was $250 and $300.
Have they decided what the British prices are going to be?
I thought the British prices were officially $250 and $300.
All right,
but
okay.
That's
I
not.
You know, they are going to round up over here.
Yeah, and the thing is, the retailers are probably they'll be cutting a bit off that anyway. But if we go in that ballpark, I mean, the thing is, I'm not excited about anything on the Wii U other than maybe Zombie U. But the thing is, I mean, it's a Nintendo console. I'm going to get it. That's all there is to it. And £300, what do you think?
I think, to be honest, I was speaking to a friend of mine who is the rep for Ubisoft in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I was asking him what he thought Assassin's Creed 3 was like on the Wii.
Like,
I haven't seen it. But from everything that's coming out of the Ubisoft offices, it looks exactly the same as the PS3 version.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's at least going to be a major contender for graphics, etc.
Yeah, for a year. I mean, that's the problem. For a year, it's going to be in line with the 360 and PS3. It'll get all the multi-platform releases, and then all of a sudden, the next consoles will come out, and Nintendo's going to be old hat again.
To be honest, though, I don't know, because the next generation, I don't know if the jump in graphics is necessarily what's going to happen.
I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and the thing is, maybe it's not going to be as big as previous, but you're still going to get a GIMP version on the Wii U. There's no doubt about it. And once again, the Wii U is going to be completely reliant upon its first-party releases.
But I think the big issue is more the controller. It's not going to be so reliant on motion controls,
mm-hmm.
because I think they've realised, you know, when they were coming up to E3 this year, I was wanting to just take a mental note of how many times, you know, the head of Nintendo America,
Reggie
Fils-Aimé.
I still call him Phil Zamas.
I was going to say the phrase, and I'm doing this in inverted commas here, hardcore gamer.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously they're wanting to capture that crowd again.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think they're moving away from, the motion control and going back to the controller.
Yeah. I still think that the tablet controller is obviously what they're trying to sell the console on. At the moment, the problem is they haven't proved to me, and I don't think the general public, that the tablet controller is going to add enough to make it kind of stand out against its competitors. Because say what you will about like the original Wii, when it came out, people were interested. There was a lot of talk about it and there was a lot of hype.
Yeah.
With the Wii U, it's like, really, the tablet controller looks reasonable, but...
The major problem I think the Wii U is going to have is it's fighting an uphill battle because not only are... It's going for hardcore gamers, but it's already kind of alienated people.
Oh, yeah.
It's kept the Wii name, which doesn't suggest any kind of massive change.
Yeah.
It's like Wii U, even rhymes with Wii 2. You know, this is the Wii Mark 2.
Mm.
The last one wasn't quite what everyone wanted, so we're trying something else.
Yeah, but you have to remember, though, the Wii, everyone criticises, and even now, it's weird how some people almost look at it as a failure. It still sold over 100 million units. I can see why they wouldn't want to just up and leave the Wii name, because while they do want to get the core gamers back,
yeah,
the casual gamers, the Wii is still a massive brand.
Yeah, but the other thing you've got to think about is the markets that the Wii was managed to somehow capture is generally, not to be stereotypical, but kind of over 40s.
Yeah.
People who wouldn't normally have owned a Wii.
Yeah.
And, you know, children.
Yeah,
you know, Nintendo have always gone for that.
Oh, yeah, well, that's it.
They always had a very family-friendly ethos. But I think a lot of people who own a Wii are going to be happy with the Wii. They're not necessarily going to want to make a couple of £100 transition.
I just think, like the 3DS, like basically every Nintendo console, they have that unique ability as, you know, 3D or the Wii, the motion control, and obviously they got the tablet computer. I think with the general public, I don't think it's going to capture imagination until, and Nintendo always have a knack for it, of releasing that one key title.
One title,
like,
yeah.
The DS didn't sell that well until Brain Training came out.
Yeah.
And
then
Wii,
everything was bundled with it.
Yeah, and then, okay, the Wii came with Wii Sports, and that was this killer app straight away. And I just think, I don't think Nintendo Land is going to be it. It looks fine, but it's. I don't think it's going to grab the kind of public's imagination.
It's what everyone is kind of concerned about. Is,
yeah.
I mean, you look at the Super Mario Brothers, Mario Brothers 2.
Mm-hmm. I can't get excited about that.
It's really, like, it's just the one for the Wii.
Slightly better graphics.
And plus you have this thing with the tablet now.
Yeah.
That the fourth player can kind of interact in a different way to the other players.
That's some cool idea. And the fact that, you know, I think maybe I am underestimating the fact that when, you know, you can turn the TV off and carry on gaming. And especially, you know, if you're in a serious relationship like I'm in, you know, Bethan comes home, she doesn't want to sit there watching me play video games.
Yeah.
So the fact that I could turn it off and carry on playing on the tablet, I mean,
that is a major selling point. Yeah. And I think that's going to help it in Japan.
Oh,
where traditionally it's still much smaller, like the houses are much smaller. Mm-hmm. So there maybe is, like, obviously, we're
one living room.
As kind of nerdy tech enthusiasts, there's normally more than kind of one TV in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me and my girlfriend both have laptops, and when we moved in together, then we have, you know, one TV.
But no, it does make sense in that respect, especially in places like Japan. That's why other than the fact that Japan doesn't give a toss about Microsoft.
Yeah,
you know, the Kinect was never going to work.
You needed 6 feet of space.
Yeah, well, I'm 6'6". I need about 10 foot of space.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
You could probably play on your knees. That would be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
The photos would have been a lot funnier.
Yeah, they'd be kind of funny. I mean, I'd have an excuse for sucking ass at Dan Central, but that's about it. But as I said, Wii U, I'll probably get it. I'm not super excited about it.
Have you heard the thing about the eShop as well?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it needs a lot of work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I
Nintendo are well behind with their digital download service.
I mean, I generally say, like, PSN is shit, but at least it's not the eShop.
Yeah. But it is pretty bad, but... And the problem is, not that it's bad in itself, it's more that Nintendo don't really care.
Yeah, the thing is, they kind of caught in on now a bit, and they're releasing all the games simultaneously.
But at the same price as well.
Yeah,
so there's
yeah.
absolutely no incentive to do it.
Yeah, but the thing is, on like Xbox, most of them are more expensive than they are in the stores.
Well,
like you look at Battlefield, that's like £50. You can get it in the shops for like 20 now.
That I think is because they don't have a tiered pricing. Like, I think with next generation, they're going to do deals and stuff because
I think they need more.
They have to if they're wanting to compete.
Mm-hmm. I think the only way they're going to make, and especially if they're going to make retailers happy in the future, is if retailers can literally have online stores connected to Xbox Live. So you can go to Xbox Live and there'll be a game store.
It's a dream.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, basically it's a marketplace with no competition at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only way I think it's going to really thrive in terms of getting, you know, a larger commitment from the general public is to have that competition for prices. Because at the moment, I turn it on, it's like, oh, SSX is, you know, available on Xbox Live Arcade. It's like £35. I'm like, I can probably get that.
There's absolutely no. There's no incentive.
Who the fuck's buying that? It's like FIFA, you know, comes out £50.
I don't know. Maybe some kind of
There are people who just don't care, don't know much about gaming, they see it and buy it on a whim. But
to be honest, there's not that many. I don't think there's that many people that are online that don't have at least a little bit of savvy about what they're paying for their games.
I mean, most people who are on Xbox Live probably are aware of Play and Amazon.
To be honest, though, there are people that are absolutely committed to buying new, and I can understand that, and you know, that's cool. I mean, I obviously, my paycheck comes from selling used equipment.
Oh, yeah, I've done
that. And that'll no doubt make me a villain to any game, you know, any game
developers
company.
And stuff. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
the used market is a debate for a podcast in itself.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. And, you know, having somebody who works at CEX here, that'll be certainly an interesting one. But
yeah, but I mean, the thing is with the eShop itself, what you can do is you can play the games from your Wii on your Wii U, but you have to have your Wii present for that. So you can't trade in, if you've got like a Wii that's packed with digital games, you can't trade it in towards your Wii U if you want to keep those games.
So you've got to have the Wii in
physically, yes.
That is bullshit. I mean, that's about as good an idea as the friend codes. It's just Nintendo, they just keep making these retarded decisions online. Again, I don't think it's going to affect them as much as a bad decision by, like, you know, Microsoft or Sony, because it's just not as big a part of their kind of, you know, of their plan, I guess. It's not the way you win over core gamers.
But to be honest,
shit we'll complain about.
Look, I kind of, in my mind, I compare Nintendo to kind of like an uncle or like a grandfather that's maybe slightly suffering from Alzheimer's. He's maybe a bit demented.
Nintendo is suffering from Alzheimer's.
Because it's just like...
That's a quote, that is.
It's more just like, Nintendo fans, fair enough, you know, kudos for their loyalty.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, you know, they will let Nintendo away with murder.
The thing is, I think I let away with murder because Nintendo, for the last couple of generations, has always been classically my second console. Like, you know, I've got the Xbox, the PS3, and the Wii.
Yeah.
But I, you know, the Xbox and 360, sorry, the Xbox and the PS3 are almost much of a muchness kind of thing, with the exception of a few first-party games. Whereas the Wii is something different. I don't play it all that much, but my God, I literally cannot live without
the first-party
releases.
Yeah.
I mean, see what you will about Nintendo, it still releases arguably the best games in the world. Yeah. As I said, my favorite game of the other than maybe Red Dead, like Super Mario Galaxy 2. I mean, I mentioned before, God, it's such a good game. And even then, like the two Zeldas that came out on the Wii, I mean, a lot of people criticised the Wii and there was a lot of shit, but there were some good, good games for that console.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's something for another episode. I did a blog on, you know, 5 more reasons to keep playing the Wii. There are a few hidden gems out there if you want to kind of pull out.
Brashgames.co.uk.
Brashgames.co.uk. Check it out, folks. I mean, because I will forget at the end of this episode, there's no doubt. But, something you didn't know about. I was reading this week that, obviously, realistically, we're not going to be seeing this because it's in Tokyo.
Yeah.
But Universal Studios in Tokyo have transformed half of the park into Raccoon City.
Oh,
they're doing, like, a Resident Evil theme park, which I just thought sounds like the coolest
thing. Does this mean they hire a bunch of extras to dress as zombies and chase you around?
Yeah, yeah.
That...
And, like, you see it... And
I'm selling kidneys. I don't care whose they are. I'm selling them and I'm getting a flight.
I mean, that sounds amazing. Yeah, it sounds immense. But they've literally, like, the building fronts, because, you know, Universal's like a movie set as well.
Yeah.
And they changed them into, like, the stores from, like, the start of Resident Evil 2.
Oh, my God. And Resi 2 is my favourite.
I know, it looks amazing.
Oh, you think they've just hired this massive, like, 7-foot guy to walk around as the Nemesis?
They have.
Oh my God!
There's a massive 7-foot-tall guy playing Nemesis who's wandering the park. It looks amazing. But more importantly, it got me thinking.
Oh man.
As popular as Disney is and as cool as Resident Evil is, are we not in a world now where a Nintendo theme park would go gangbusters? Are we not there yet? You think about it, a Nintendo theme park, you've got a Mario ride, a Zelda ride, Donkey Kong knocking around the park. I mean, Nintendo, they've got to ride some Pokemon. I mean, you could even have, like, Smash Brothers, you know, kind of guest appearances from, you know, Sonic, from Metal Gear, from Solid Snake.
Oh,
and I just think, you know, you could have a kind
Smash
of
Brothers land,
Smash
basically.
Smash Brothers land, Mario Kart land. I mean, you know, the ride kind of sells itself, doesn't it? You could have a Star Fox ride for the futuristic kind of, you know, what do they have, the 3D rides and stuff.
Yeah.
Surely, and in terms of popularity, I mean, Mario's up there with Mickey Mouse now, if not surpassed it.
I would, yeah.
So he's probably,
yeah, yeah.
You know, why... I'm amazed Nintendo haven't looked into this, because you think a Nintendo land just about anywhere in the world would be massive.
I mean, I don't know like that much about Japan,
mm-hmm.
like in its infrastructure
they
and stuff.
They love fucking Nintendo.
But I'm talking about if they would have, like, obviously, kind of culturally,
mm-hmm.
space is always an issue with them.
Oh, but they find space because you have it on the outskirts of the city. I mean, they've got Disney World Tokyo over there. They've yeah. got Universal Tokyo. So I don't think... I mean, obviously, it's going to be expensive.
Nintendo Land. Oh, yeah, but they would make
exactly,
so much money.
Nintendo Land, you know, but it doesn't even have to be Tokyo. It could be America. The fact of the matter is, I honestly think you could open a Nintendo Land anywhere on the planet, you know, and it would do business. Open Zambia Nintendo Land, and I guarantee you're still doing numbers. Do you think Zambia is ready for Nintendo?
I just don't want a repeat of last week with the Brave cast, you know?
Listen, just because I'm mentioning Zambia doesn't mean this is going to be
a I'm all, like, I've already stored away the question as, how did they find a 7-foot man in Japan?
Well, I assume he's a 7-foot man. He looks massive.
Yeah.
But, I know. Yeah, you don't see too many tall people. Although I saw one super tall Korean guy when I was over in Seoul. Like, I was just towering above everyone as usual. And there was one dude who was massive. I mean, he must have been about my dad. But he was very much the only one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure they can import them. You get a few tall people over from China, perhaps.
Yeah.
But who knows? But yeah, Nintendo Land, I'm thinking that's the future. But my God, if you happen to be going to or are in Tokyo, please go to Resident Evil Universal. Let us know how it goes.
That sounds incredible.
It just sounds immense.
I have a friend who actually recently did a thing in Bristol,
mm-hmm.
where I don't know if it's like an old estate or something.
Yeah,
it sounds like a real bugger to get insured for,
because
you'd think people are running, and it's just, you know, concrete streets and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like how no one has just smashed their head open or
what is this in Bristol? Sorry.
Yeah, it's like a zombie. Like what they do is at night they'll like close off. Like a housing estate or a part of a housing estate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just something that's like derelict.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I know which one I'd be running
from. Yeah, we're just giving people tickets to a really rough area in Bristol and just see if you can survive the pikies.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. That's. Yeah, sorry, I have an airsoft rifle, so that could be fun.
And airsoft, if we're going to go shoot, like, Neds is what you call it?
Neds. I'm sure non-educated delinquents.
Yeah, they did a film on it. I thought Neds is such a perfect name.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, you know.
I
don't want to go all Daily Mail on you, but sometimes you're like, a gun wouldn't be the best. You know, so.
It's because it borderline sounds nasal as well.
Neds. Yeah, and they've got that really wheezy accent, like especially in Glasgow up here.
Yeah, specifically in Glasgow.
How's it going, big man? You know, that's what I got as soon as I got off the train in Glasgow. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
In a friendly way, but like they say, Glasgow's the friendliest and most dangerous city in Europe, simultaneously.
Yeah.
So, make of that what you will.
Yeah.
But in regards to other current releases, the other one is, the big one is Borderlands 2 coming out. Is it coming out this week?
Well, it came out in the States today.
Oh, okay.
Reviews are up. Reviews are looking really positive for it.
As I said, everyone seems to be super psyched for Borderlands 2, except for me.
To be honest, it's the first, like, I really like Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
I would probably consider Sleeping Dogs to be the first kind of, I would say AAA, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like,
supposedly it didn't sell so well in America, though. It did pretty good numbers over here, but I heard it bombed a bit in America.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, part of me just really...
It's
like,
a shame, I liked it.
Yeah, and it had a great cast as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Emma Stone's in it. James Hong, who people, if they've seen Wayne's World...
When
he has the badly dubbed fight with Tia Carrera's dad.
That's
James Hong.
Yeah,
like, he's in everything.
Yeah, the best part of a pretty dire film. But
well, I still like Wayne's
World. It's fine. The bit when they get Charlton Heston in. Fair play, that is an amazing scene.
Yeah.
Of all the actors you could get. Can we get someone else? Oh, fucking Charlton Heston. That was amazing. But yeah, as I said, Borderlands 2... I mean, I played the first one. It was fine, but after about 5 hours, I just got bored of shit and just kind of threw in the towel and just couldn't be bothered. So
I think there is a lot to be said for this co-op mode,
mm-hmm.
because everyone, like, it's weird. It's like going away on a school trip or something. Everyone's like teaming up together, in anticipation.
I think maybe if I get into that, into the, as we were saying before the podcast,
we should maybe try playing it co-op.
We should try playing it co-op because neither of us seem to be overly enamored by it.
The first one, I played about 10 hours of it, mm-hmm. and for me, it really was just, why is it taking so long to kill everything? Like, yeah. even like just like lizards mm-hmm. and like very low level baddies.
Yeah.
You know, and I got a bit frustrated with it. I didn't really feel like I was progressing.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I got
to
say,
which is supposed to be the point of the game,
right? Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently the second one's a lot more story driven.
Yeah, I mean the story's shit, but the dialogue's supposed to be really good. So.
All right. Okay.
This is what I hear.
Well, I mean, it's Anthony Birch that wrote kind of a lot, like took over a lot of the dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently it does seem really funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As I said, I'm going to give it a go, and I think if we give it a blast on co-op, you know, we'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously that's the big release. I mean, as we promised, we will go into movies. We are going to look at the summer movies. But before that, have you played anything this week? I mean, I keep looking into the future.
This week, just not really Hearthfire.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been enjoying Hearthfire. It's kind of got me back into Skyrim.
Oh, this is the fucking house thing again.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, we got quite into this.
Because now what I'll do is I'll build a bit of my house and then I'll go and do some more quests.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Sounds so fucking lame. I just can't get into the idea of it. I can't even pick it. I've tried to pick up Skyrim. Like, 3 times, it's almost been in the Xbox. I'm like, I'm starting it now. And
it's because you know it's a major time... It's a time sink.
Yeah. It feels like such a commitment.
If you like it...
Yeah.
That's it. That's your evening gone.
Yeah, if
you don't like it, you're going to keep pushing yourself to be like, maybe I'll like it in a minute. But no. It's a very polarizing game, Skyrim.
I'm doing basically anything not to play at the moment. I mean, I played Ghost Recon again. I just keep ending up playing.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And I went back to my Dreamcast and played Under Defeat. It's just like anything.
What a shocker!
Under Defeat's an amazing game. I'm just going to Xbox Live Arcade, and if it does, buy it. It's amazing. But I mean, this week I've just been busy because I had like a week off without any reviews, and then this week I got sent 4. I got sent Deadlight, which a little bit behind the times, I guess, but the review's going up tomorrow. It's an awesome game. It does have its faults, but because I know the reviews are pretty mixed, but I really, really liked it, and I could overlook a lot of the faults, even though the voice acting is so bollocks, and it's such a shame.
Brashgames.co.uk.
Brashgames.co.uk. Check it out. It'll be up tomorrow. Actually, no, it won't be up tomorrow. Tell lie. By the time you listen to this, it'll already be up. I'm reviewing Agarest. What is it? Agarest Generations of War Zero. Again, a game released last year, but getting a kind of re-release of sorts on PSN. So, not too exciting. But you know, if you're into SJRPGs, there's a lot of content. Plenty of content. That's
when you say strategy. Like, are you talking like armies or like?
No, just like the grid
over
system.
A grid.
Like Disgaea. Is it Disgaea?
Disgaea. Also, Final Fantasy Tactics as well.
Yeah.
I don't mind those.
They're good.
It's not Breath of Fire. It's Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem. Yeah.
On the DS.
Yeah. The problem is you just named 3 games which are all better than Agarest. Basically, it's in the same league. You know, it costs £20 download. Personally,
that's pretty steep for a download title.
I mean, no, it was like a full retail, so it is like a full game.
Oh, right, okay.
It's like an 80-hour game, yeah, I know, a lot of content.
It's what you make of it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I won't get too excited about that, but, you know, the review will be going up soon. I'm really selling that. Brave, I mean, you know,
Disney tie-in.
Yeah, you know, they
sometimes they're surprising.
Yeah, Cars 2, I remember being better than the movie, actually. And they do a couple of okay games. Like, I remember playing, like, oh no, those DreamWorks. Kung Fu Panda was surprisingly fun. But it's one of those games, like, you know, I haven't got around to it yet, but...
Do you know what studio it is that's making it? Is it?
I have no idea. I literally haven't... I found out I was reviewing it yesterday, so that's in the post. But more importantly, Pro Evo 2013 is in the post, and that I am excited about. I played the demo to death. It looks amazing. It looks like a return to form to Pro Evo. The review will be going up hopefully very soon. And it'll be interesting to see how it does against FIFA, because really, I mean, the reviews, again, the first reviews are coming out for this, they all seem very positive. And, you know, I've played both the FIFA, I mean, I know it's a demo, but it gives you an idea.
Yeah.
I played the FIFA 13 demo quite a few times, Pro Evo 2013, and I'm still very much on board with Pro Evo. And this seems like the biggest step up in a while.
Well, I mean, what's your allegiance been?
Always Pro Evo.
Yeah.
But saying that, I'm not blinded... By
hatred.
Yeah. I've tried
come over to the dark side, etc.
I mean, for instance, take last year. If I'd reviewed FIFA 12, I would have given it a 9.
Right.
If I'd reviewed Pro Evo 2012, I would have given it a 7. I still would have ended up playing Pro Evo like I had all year. Yeah. Just because I prefer... I can see why people prefer FIFA.
Yeah.
But I just prefer Pro Evo. But this year, based on what I've heard and what I've seen, I think it's going to be close cut. And there seems to be a lot of people out there waiting. People who jump ship, waiting for Pro Evo to come back to prominence. I think there are people out there just like... If you know, if Pro Evo get the game together, they're willing to go back.
2009 was the last Pro Evo I played.
I played them all. And they've got better in the last couple of years, much better.
I do. Like, I know it's the traditional argument against sports games, but I do object to paying
yearly updates.
You know, 40 quid for some new shirts. And...
Yeah, I just can't help it with Pro Evo. Like, Pro Evo comes out, it's one of those few games where it's like, I have to have it day one.
Plus, once you get into your career mode...
Before day one.
Once you get into your career mode, you know, yeah. Like, I would pick it up and play it. But not to the point where I would get through like 10 seasons.
Oh, no, I don't do that. I just don't have the time. I mean,
I'd maybe get them to the top of the top league. And then that's about it.
I'm not obsessive. I can't be fucked with that. I mean, I'll
be... As a gamer, it's really hard. Like, I've never understood how people can be... Like, spend that much time on Call of Duty or Battlefield or Pro Evo.
Yeah.
It's like that, you're not really a gamer. You just play that one.
Yeah, I can't do it. The thing is, I get fidgety. Like, I'll play... Maybe one of the reasons I can't get... I won't put on Skyrim. Because The thing is, once I get
Skyrim,
into a game...
Skyrim's different, though, because it's not...
Skyrim's different.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's okay, no.
It's more like that...
Explain, please, because you can make a house in Skyrim.
Well, yes. Yeah, and you can adopt children.
No, this isn't a life-consuming game at all. A game where you can do a million quests, and you can have a pony... You can have a fucking...
You can't call him Buttercup, but you can ride him to the shops if you want.
Can you really get a pony?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
A giant killed my cow, and I was very upset about this.
A giant killed your cow. See, you're trying to sell me on the idea that Skyrim isn't all-encompassing. I fucking do not believe you. I'm not going near that game.
Yeah.
I know, man. I'm just going to pick up a crack at it.
That at least has a story to pull you forward.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fair enough, I guess, but... what was I going to mention next? I mean, I've got other items to mention here.
Okay.
But if we don't do it now, we'll never do it.
Let's get into
the fucking movies.
Yes.
We promised a review
of
the summer movies, and we're going to do it. And I think the first thing we should do, you know, given the nature of the podcast, is look at the summer...
comic book movies.
Superhero movies. Yeah, comic book movies. Because you watched Judge Dredd finally this week.
I did.
And what did you think?
I loved it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
The one thing that really surprised me is I am not a fan of 3D, really.
Yeah.
Went
pretty well there.
And this one was shot in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked gorgeous.
It looked good.
The whole slow-mo thing.
Yeah.
Basically, they use a lot of slow-mo.
Mm-hmm. But it works in regards to the story.
In context, yeah. I guess we should probably drop a spoiler warning for this bit.
They would have seen it in the adverts.
We should probably try to avoid spoiler, because I know my dad listens to this.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you haven't seen
the
trailer...
He hasn't seen the film yet.
Yeah, well, it's pretty clearly in the trailer. There's a drug which makes... If for the takers, they see everything at 1%. Yeah,
time slows down. Yeah. So they use that to... Well, not justify, because that sounds like...
I think it does justify it, because obviously nobody wants to be copying Zack Snyder.
From perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, John Woo is the king of slow-mo. There's no doves in this one, though.
There are no doves, no.
But, spoilers, no doves.
They would be shot down. This is a very violent film.
It is brutal.
But in a good way.
Yeah, so just they juxtapose this kind of beautiful, kind of almost... I don't know, and like the music when they go into slow motion.
And it's the way they shoot it, and they kind of increase the light on the scene. So everything has like a sparkle to it almost. It's almost dreamlike the way they shoot it. Yeah. I guess it is a drug and it makes sense.
Like the bit in the advert is you see like the guys in the car with the curtain blowing in.
Oh, that orange curtain.
And it's like, wow, that looks amazing. And in 3D,
it's incredible. And it does look very beautiful. But then all of a sudden, that beauty is kind of disturbed somewhat by a bullet going directly through somebody's cheek.
Yeah.
So it is a strange mix, but it works so well. But while I like the visual style... I like the fact that they've simplified the story. I just think, without question, Carl Urban steals the show.
Yes.
His chin can fucking act, man.
Yeah.
That boy he knows how to wiggle his chin.
They talk about Bane, you know, with Tom Hardy saying it all through the eyes.
This guy's all chin. And he does the upside down smile. It's amazing. The voice is amazing. I love the way they incorporated the classic line as well, because obviously, if you've seen the original, the Stallone one, you know, it's really bombast. It's, I am the law. And he, that's in the first 5 seconds.
I mean, had he had his stroke by then?
I think he'd had his second stroke by then.
Yeah.
But yeah, Carl Urban, the way he kind of, you know, really vehemently whispers it, she's not the law.
Yeah.
I'm the law. And you're just like, fuck, he is the law, man. I don't want to. Like, honestly, if I'd been listening to that and I was in the building, I would have just. I would have shot myself.
Yeah.
I just would have jumped off the balcony. I'd like, I'm not dealing with this fucking
guy. There really is very much. Like, they mentioned it early that he is just a ball of rage and power.
Yeah.
Very tightly controlled.
Yeah, and they kind of, you know, it does hint in the start of the film that there's something else, but it's only hints that, and again, the rest of the film, it's only hints that in the subtlest way by his chin. This guy's fucking chin should win an Oscar. It's an amazing performance. The only problem with the film is that a couple of months ago, I'm not sure if I've already mentioned it, but The Raid came out.
Yeah.
I'm sure I mentioned it in previous podcasts.
It's drawn so many parallels.
It's my favourite film of the year, but basically it's the same setup. I mean, you can imagine the director watching the film and being like, what the fuck?
One hand on the phone to his lawyer.
Well, no, because, I mean, Judge Dredd was made, I think, at around the same time, so it was just one of those, you know,
better budget, so it was more editing and...
Yeah, but I mean... It was the thing is, at first I was caught with the fact it's literally the same setup. It's a drug dealer at the top of a building. The cops have to get to the top. It's like, it's The Raid, but with Judge Dredd. But I got over that so quick. One, because the style's different, because it does have that sci-fi.
Yeah.
Although it is very set, I thought. It does have that real-world look.
It's gritty, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look... It's not like, the mega cities from the comic books.
Even his bike doesn't seem that...
quite as OTT, does it? But you see him drive around the streets at the start and you see the shots, and the only thing which stands out are the buildings and Dredd himself.
Yeah.
Everything else looks like it could be South Central LA, let's be honest.
And their guns, because I want one of those.
Him.
Yeah, they are so cool. Voice-activated guns.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big comic book nerd, mm-hmm. but Judge Dredd is one that I haven't really gotten into.
Yeah.
I think mostly because none of my friends really read it.
Yeah. So, but that, I think, makes a point. It does not matter. Do not get caught up with this being a comic book movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you like Judge Dredd or if you've ever... Even if you know who he is, this is an awesome movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get bogged down in lore. It's a simple movie about a cop getting to the top of a building.
Two cops,
sorry. I apologise.
Because she earns her place in that film.
Oh, without question. And she justifies him not taking off his mask for the whole film.
Well, I suppose that's true.
Because, you know, you need someone with a more human face, and she's it. You know, they do another good job of explaining why she's not wearing the helmet in the film.
Yeah.
But she's very good. It gives the film a human edge. But she doesn't go overboard. She's great in that film.
Yeah.
But plus, basically, it's just a great film.
Is it Lana Headey, the woman that plays Mama, the drug dealer?
Oh, yeah,
from Game of Thrones.
It's the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Yeah,
and 300 as well.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She is brilliant.
Yeah.
They've uglied her up.
Yeah, you can still see underneath.
Yeah.
We won't go there.
But like I say, let's not go back to last week.
She is hot, though. Basically, we were talking about this, and the fact came, we were like, it's been such a great year for
comic book movies.
And trying to put them in order, like, which ones were our favourite. I mean, it gets tricky, because I know Batman kind of split opinion. And with me, it was like, when it was good, it was amazing. But when it was bad... And like the plot started adding up, it was just like, ugh. I mean, any other season, I'd be like, oh, it was still a great film. But it's like, the thing is, Batman obviously has got this huge scope.
Yes.
So you can forgive certain deficiencies to a certain degree. But
they have to pack it into like 2.5 hours.
I appreciate that what he was trying to do was harder. But if you look at what someone was trying to do and the level of success, it's like Dredd was a better movie. It was very simple, but it was so perfectly formed.
Yeah, you got proper closure with that one.
Yeah, and if you ask me which one I enjoyed more, Batman or Dredd, honestly, I think I'd say Dredd. I really do. But the only thing, regardless of either of these, I still wouldn't put Dredd or... Like, I put Dredd at second for the summer, and I put Batman at third, and I still think, I've seen it twice now, Avengers has to be the film of the summer.
Yeah.
It was so... so good, and that film could have been a mess. Don't get me wrong, a lot of its success has to go down to how Marvel handled the setup.
Yeah,
know, each separate film.
I guess, yeah.
And the potential banana skins that was Thor. You know, people take it for granted now. You see Thor and you think, great, that could have been a disaster.
He is probably my least favourite of the...
Of the characters.
Of that group.
But I still think they have...
We're saying that's not even including Hawkeye and... Black Widow.
The thing is, there are so many characters in that film, so much going on. It's like it could have become a mess, it could have become hokey, it could have turned into a bit of a joke. But instead, he straddled that line. It feels like a proper comic book movie. The action's amazing.
To be honest with you, the non-hawkiness, I would put down to Joss Whedon's influence.
Oh, yeah. Basically, Joss Whedon's all over that film. I mean, they've obviously just kind of trusted him with the kind of material and just said, you know, make the
film. I mean, the guy's been, ever since... Basically, he is the master of, right, you know what, I don't have a TV show anymore. Let's transition that storyline into comics.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, he's been writing comic books... For years.
Well, like, he's made...
Buffy is still going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Angel is as well, really? Although I'm not so bothered about that.
I didn't know he had a comic book.
There was another one. Is it Frey? I think that's another Buffy. It's in the Buffy universe. My girlfriend really likes that one.
Fair enough, yeah.
But yeah, that's... And I think about a Slayer in the far future, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously Firefly. You know, they've kept Firefly going in comic book form.
Have they really?
Oh yeah.
How do I not know this? I fucking love Firefly.
I haven't actually read them, but I kind of don't want a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting till at least a few of them are out. But
it just started recently.
No, it's been a couple of years.
Oh shit!
But there's one that is the Shepherd story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really want, like, that was one of the big mysteries. Obviously,
I really
want to hear about that. But yeah, Joss Whedon has his. Like, he knows what he's doing when it comes to comic books, and you can tell he loves this story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt. And the thing is, like you say, that kind of transition from the screens to comic books, and it proves, obviously, he can do it both ways, because I don't think any director has ever...
captured the look and
the
feel
look
of a comic book
so successfully, and I just think every inch of that film is almost perfect.
It is, because it's so over the top without being ridiculous.
Yeah, the thing is, it all feels real to the universe. Nothing kind of ever drags you out of it. The characters all have their own... Even, you know, with Black Widow obviously getting extended park and parts in Hawkeye, everyone feels like they get their kind of their shot.
I felt a bit bad for Jeremy Renner, because it's like, yeah, you're going to be in the Avengers. It's like, all right, as who? As one of the Avengers. Awesome. And then,
Which one? Is it Thor? Is it the Hulk?
You're going to be Hawkeye. Oh, right, okay. You're going to be a bad guy.
Yeah, what the fuck is a Hawkeye? Yeah, yeah, we know. But stick with it.
I guess I should probably say spoilers. If you haven't seen this one, I don't know why you're listening to this.
Fuck that. If you haven't seen the Avengers...
The movie came out yesterday, so...
Yeah, no, come on now. I mean, how many people in the world have
seen
the
Avengers?
Came out
on DVD yesterday.
If you listen to this, I'm going to flat out assume you've seen the Avengers, and if you haven't, there's something wrong with you. So we'll get over that. But yeah, I'd happily put Avengers at the top of the list. I'm pretty comfortable putting Dread at second.
Yeah.
And even then, third and fourth is close, because I really liked... Mark Webb's take on Spider-Man. I thought it was a great kind of... Especially, the action was okay. I mean, the Lizard wasn't amazing.
I didn't have any issue with the action.
No, I didn't have any issue with it, but it really wowed me. Except for the scene in the school, which had the coolest cameo ever from Stan Lee, by the way.
That was
fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they're always good, but that one was brilliant.
One. But the best parts of that film were the bits when Spider-Man arguably wasn't in it, when it was just Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, well...
Just the love story was just so believable, and they... I mean, Andrew Garfield's like, I think he's like 29, 30, but he's so believable as that kind of dorky... Well, he wasn't even dorky, just kind of slightly... Almost like an in-betweener kind of character.
Yeah, 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 I guess
so. Just on the fringes kind of thing, you know?
I think he was a... Like, they're trying to follow the Amazing Spider-Man story.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he's not so much of a geek. He's very intelligent, but he's just more of a kind of...
Yeah, he's...
a slight outsider.
Yeah. The problem I had with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is that he's a wimp. He's whiny and, you know, he's always appalled. Like, he's just kind of pathetic.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, Andrew Garfield, he keeps the kind of softer side of Peter Parker. But like you say, he doesn't come across as such a pussy, basically.
Yeah.
And they've kept
the wit as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the main thing. He feels more like the kind of quick-witted Spider-Man that you all kind of know.
Yeah.
Of. See, the more I'm talking about them now, I'm thinking, what is the fourth?
The thing is...
The thing is, let's make this clear.
Yeah.
This is putting four into order of four, what I believe, are all very good films.
All at least eight out of ten, yeah. I would say.
Batman's the most flawed of the most of the bunch, but it's also got
the end of the trilogy. It's got some amazing action scenes.
It's got the most impressive scope. It's the most kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? I'll forget it anyway. I'm just going to give up on that word.
My issue with Nolan's Batman is it's never been the. I mean, there's many a plot hole.
Oh, well, is
there? Yeah. I mean, it's Nolan. People let him off with it, which is fair enough. Makes but films. My issue with Nolan's Batman has always been his Gotham.
Yeah.
Like, how much of Dark Knight Rises was filmed during the day?
Yeah.
Seriously, Batman does not come out during the day.
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one, was it? I think they were just trying to do a slightly different...
I mean, I think it's one. Auckland. Auckland's really filmed
Chicago.
A lot.
Chicago.
I think they filmed all over the place.
Yeah, maybe. I know they did the steps on the shots on the steps at the end with Bane. I think that was in Chicago.
Right, okay.
But I'm not sure.
But, because that's the bit where it's like, ooh, so you've come back to die with your city. And it's like, no, I've come to beat you or something. It's
some of that.
Like, and it's so stilted. You know, fair enough, I've just made an absolute mess of it there, but...
Yeah, you know, all you have to do is the voice.
Yeah.
I'm Batman, I'm here to kick some ass. And then something else, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But I have to sound super gruff. And the thing is, I thought... The voice sounds super cool, like at the start of the first one. You know, like when the first time you see him,
yeah,
he's like, I'm Batman. And then he hangs the guy upside down. And he's like,
Falcone.
Yeah. He's like, don't swear to God, swear to me. And I was like, that sounds pimp. But then like three films in, when he's just talking, just shop.
Yeah,
he's just like, I've got to go around the corner to the shops. It's like, it's just not.
I must have missed that scene. That must be an extended version.
Like when he's trying to sound aggressive and scary, it really works. Like I love that when he was being intimidated. I thought, if I was being upside down with this fucking clown, and he was talking to me like that, I would brick it. But when he's just talking like, so Bane, he showed up yesterday, and it's just like general chat. It's just like, just take off the edge. I would just kind of talk normally then, but you know, each their own, I guess.
I would love to see a Welsh Batman.
A Welsh Batman. So I'm going to go see this Bane I am. He's causing proper problems, he is. The thing is, you can't sound threatening if you're Welsh. It's too sing-song, isn't it?
Come on,
Bane, stop fucking kicking off, you know. It's like, that's not going to happen. Although there is a Welsh Batman. Christian Bale is Welsh.
Oh, yeah, of course. What am I saying? Yeah.
But let's be honest, he doesn't quite play up
Welsh. Well, I mean, he's Welsh. Andrew Garfield's English. Henry Cavill's English as well.
Yeah, all the superheroes are British now.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any? I can't believe fucking Superman's British now. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. The all American hero.
Yeah, why are you kicking off about? But imagine if they got an American to play
Captain
Bond.
Or Captain America.
Oh yeah.
I like Chris Pine as Captain America.
Yeah, I think he's great.
A lot better than he was as a Human Torch.
I thought he was good as Human Torch. I think he was the only good thing about the Fantastic Four.
Michael Chiklis I liked, but
I didn't like it. My favorite bit. The only bit probably I liked two films was the start of the second one, before they got bogged down with, you know, story and dialogue, when they're having the bullshit wedding, which I didn't like, but, you know, the Silver Surfer rocks up, and he just jumps off the side of the building, he's like, flame on, and, like, chases him through the subway.
Yeah.
I was like, that was amazing. And I saw that in the trailer, I was like, fuck, this is...
Well, he's a dick in the comic book as well.
Yeah, he's a dick in this. I thought he was good in that, and it was a brave choice to have, you know, because that's another Marvel character, to do Captain America, but... And it's such... It couldn't be a more different character. But I thought he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah,
he
was I totally agree.
But, so there's the summer. I mean, whatever order you want to put them in, I'm going to say Batman maybe just ahead of Spider-Man. But that's not disinspired. As you say, we're talking eight out of ten films and above.
Spider-Man as well, the cast. I mean, Sally Field
Aunt May
was amazing.
Yeah, she was good. Not a huge amount of screen time, but she was very good when she was there.
Yeah.
They felt so much more human than in the Sam Raimi.
Well, because she's almost like Aunt May. I don't know the name of the old lady that plays Aunt May.
She's a bit of a caricature almost.
But she's... Aunt May isn't... She's made, like, they kind of got her as being a bit kind of spunky and stands up for herself. But she was almost a comedy character.
But,
that bit where she's hanging... From her umbrella, from the ledge, it's like, oh,
it was another
really?
One that's kind of cool seeing that, but yeah, because I loved the second one, but I wasn't too
impressed
on that.
I mean, what else have you got? You've got Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen,
as Uncle Ben. You know, that I got really, that was really hard to watch. You know, that one scene. Like, you know, I mean, it's kind of touching in the Tobey Maguire one.
Spoilers,
ones as well.
I suppose, but he's.
Have you never heard of Spider-Man?
I mean, yeah, fuck off, basically. Because he's, I mean, he's famously Uncle Ben, isn't he? He's the only character in the Marvel Universe who actually stays dead.
Yeah.
Every other fucker, they die and they come back.
Yeah.
But Uncle Ben, the poor sod, he dies and he stays dead.
He dies in episode one as
well. Yeah, he has to die, he has to stay dead. It's very important to the story. But yeah, I mean, Superman next year, that's got a hell of a cast. Like Kevin Costner, Russell Crowe
as Jor-El.
And Henry Cavill, I think he looks the part. And I know some people, I loved the trailer and I thought it was such a cool idea to have. It's basically the same trailer twice.
Who is it they've got as Zod again?
Oh, Michael Shannon, which is genius. Yeah. Michael Shannon is fucking amazing. And he is a threatening looking dude.
Yeah.
When he puts it on, like, I think, when I heard about that, I was sold on it. But even Zack Snyder, I know a lot of people have their problems, but again, I'm
it
sure
it works with a visual medium. That's
he does.
Him.
And
they Superman, always look good.
And after the last film, Superman just needed to do something awesome. There wasn't enough of a threat. There wasn't enough spectacle. And I think the cast is amazing. I like the trailer. I'll get over the suit. I mean, let's be honest, really. Underwear on the outside of the suit, does modern day Superman...
I actually don't mind that.
I mean, surely, if you're a modern day Superman, you're all awesome, and you look down, you're like, why the fuck am I wearing my underwear on the outside?
It's fan service.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just thinking kind of more practically. If I was Superman, and I look down, I'm like...
You know,
I mean, I know it's my birth suit, but fucking underwear. People are going to be laughing at me. I just have to put these on the inside. This is it.
You've got heat vision. No one's laughing at you.
No one's laughing at me, but I don't know what.
They have a bit of green stone in their pocket.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, personally, I can understand why he's done it. I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think that looks absolutely amazing.
Well, I mean, it's Chris Nolan that's writing it. So
yeah.
I think there's a good chance that it will be, you know, a really good film.
Well, hopefully. And it's supposedly, they must have a bit of faith in it, because this is supposed to be the start of the Justice League, isn't it? This is the plan. Because obviously, Nolan's Batman doesn't fit in with the Justice League ethos. Idea is, they'll reboot Batman. Reboot Batman. I don't know what reboot is.
Didn't know you were Canadian?
Yeah, reboot. You know, it's reboot all these Superman movies, eh? But, yeah, that's supposed to be the start of the JLA, and I'm super excited about it. I think it looks amazing. I love the trailer. But of the films this year, I mean, beyond the superhero movies, which did gangbusters all out of this world, the other films were much more hit and miss. I mean, if you asked me at the start of the year if I could only watch one movie at the cinema this year,
honestly, Batman?
Nope, I would have said Prometheus.
All right, okay.
I was fucking psyched for that. I loved the look of the trailers. I was like, I am ready to return to, you know, because I don't even count Aliens vs. Predators. Those were bollocks. And I was, you know, I quite like Predators, actually, the recent one.
Yeah, but, Predators was good.
Yeah, that was surprisingly decent. I watched that again recently, and I still liked it a lot. I mean,
the main, what's his name?
Adrian Brody?
Yeah.
I liked him.
I don't.
Oh, I thought he was great.
Rodriguez is in this one, though, isn't she?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. I hope
no,
she
it's
is.
Not her. You're being racist again, dude. Just fucking anyone, even South American. Just fucking Michelle Rodriguez.
No, it's Danny Trejo. That's it.
You've mixed up Danny Trejo. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's fucking racist or retarded. I think people will let that off. We'll just leave it. But yeah, Prometheus. What did you think? Because I mean, obviously, a split opinion down the middle.
I actually haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
I was pretty poor when it came out and didn't really get a chance to go to the pictures to see it.
Well, it's a strange one. I'm going to steer clear. I'm not even sure if I can give you spoilers. The story's fucking so all over the place.
I saw the trailer for David for Michael Fassbender as the robot.
Oh my god, he's the best thing in it. He's amazing in it. I mean, we mentioned it last week when
we were talking about Assassin's Creed.
Hanging out the back end of Michael Fassbender last week.
Yeah.
But he really is the best thing about it. But the film itself, it was the most interesting movie of the year, but also simultaneously the most disappointing. So I would say, if we're rating out of 10, it's a 6 out of 10 film.
But is that informed by you having seen the Aliens movies? Like,
I grew up with the Aliens
movies. But is that what's influencing your thoughts on the film?
No.
There's a lot of contradictions, and that's what makes a lot of people... You know, fanboys are going to get upset about any little thing, but...
There are contradictions, but that's not my problem here. My problem, my large problem with Prometheus is that so much happens without an explanation. it just jumps from one thing to the next, and you're just like, nothing. It basically lacks coherency, and I don't mean coherency throughout the universe or the films. Just, I mean, as a film within that film.
Right.
And there is, supposedly, I've read an explanation for it, and the way you're supposed to put it together, it's not explained in the film. Mm. So expect to be slightly infuriated, but it is probably this year's most beautifully shot film. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's well acted. It's definitely worth seeing, but just expect it to be disappointing. What isn't very good, I mean, I watched Battleship, sadly.
You played the game.
I played the game. I reviewed the game. I had to play, you know, I reviewed the game, and the game was probably better than the movie. So that gives you an idea of what you're dealing with the movie there. It was really bad, man. And it was directed by Peter Berg, and he did Hancock, which I really liked. And I remember him actually from, what is it? What was that boxing film he did back in the day with Samuel L. Jackson? Something Hype? The Great White Hype.
All right.
Do you ever see that film?
That's quite an old film.
Yeah, it's quite an old film. And Peter Berg plays the kind of white boxer in it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's good in that. And, you know, I watched that so many times when I was younger. So I was like, yeah, I want to give him a chance. And as I said, Hancock, okay, the second half's shit, but the first half's amazing. And I was like, you know, maybe you can do this. But nah, it was just bollocks. The end, it just completely falls into farce where they have all the old timers on the ship and stuff. And, you know, there's so much kind of just ass licking with the US Navy. Like, they've got this guy, I mean, fair play to him. He's obviously lost two legs in combat, and I'm sure he's brave as fuck and, you know, an American hero.
Yeah.
And I don't say that in a piss ticky way. I'm sure he's done amazing things. But the fact of the matter is, he can't fucking act.
Right.
He is shit. He's not an actor. I'm not going to say he's a shit actor. The fact of the matter is, he's not an actor.
It's like someone won a competition to be on the set.
Yeah, they're just like, well, they've seen him and he's just like, oh, check him out. You know, he's an American hero. He fits in with the kind of style of the film.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he's not a very good actor. And as I said, they kind of try and shoehorn in these kind of, you know, go America stereotypes. And it just feels a bit sickening towards the end. But one film which got loads of grief, which I actually really enjoyed, was... not really enjoyed, but I quite liked, was John Carter.
I haven't seen that one either. It looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... I don't know. I've heard
bad things?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all people say. I mean, the reviews were terrible. They got a pretty shocking...
I mean, it's the same guy that wrote the Tarzan books.
Oh, I was going to say, it's Taylor... Is it Taylor Kitsch? Is that his name? Taylor Kitsch, the guy who stars in both Battleship and that in the same year.
Oh, right, okay.
Way to fucking kill your career, dude. But, you know, I found that vaguely entertaining, I guess.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, I'll probably watch it at some point. It's, it's the same guy that did... The Tarzan books that wrote the original.
Yeah, sorry, you did.
It's like a series of like pulp novels, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It certainly seems okay. It's like family friendly sci-fi. So.
Yeah, yeah. It got a really bad rap as being like a poor man's Avatar, and to a certain extent, it is.
Yeah,
but
I can see that.
As a summer blockbuster, it was just the biggest. The most negative thing I could say about it is that it was just mediocre.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, compared to Battleship, it was much better, and compared to a lot of some blockbusters I've seen, it was far superior. But, you know, basically the comic book movies are the films which really saved the summer this year. But as I said, I mean, next year, hopefully less comic book movies, maybe. No, there's The Wolverine, isn't there? Is that coming out next year?
I don't think that's next year.
Or is that 2014?
Year.
I mean, I am stoked. I really want to see that.
As a Wolverine fan, I am really excited that they are going...
To Japan?
They're going down the comic book route. This is going to be fan service.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of me wonders if it's going
to
be a good film.
Something.
Because they lost a lot of the diehard fans in Origins, which I actually didn't mind that much.
I fucking hated that film.
What was that about it that you hated?
Just everything. He turned into a pussy, and they ruined his... Like, there's so many bits in the film where his clothes are done in, like, special effects, and it looks shit. Like, when he's in the dude's bathroom... And he's kind of like, you know, breaking stuff with his clothes. His clothes are done with like CG, and
did you see any of the? Remember, there was the famous leaked copy. Like it got out like 6 months before.
Yeah. No, I didn't see it.
This was. It's actually almost better to watch it with that version.
Really.
Because it's instead of, like, people being thrown around in the fight scenes, either a dummy. Or a CGI dummy.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Like
really?
The bit the fight with Deadpool at the end.
See, I with hate a laser. That fight scene at the end.
It's all like rendered in grey, and there's like pencil drawings and stuff. Yeah. It's
I wouldn't mind seeing that just out of interest.
It's pretty funny.
I just didn't like. My favorite thing about the film actually was Liev Schreiber. I thought he was awesome as Sabretooth.
I was properly
threatening.
I mean, I was a bit annoyed at what they'd done to Sabretooth because he should be bigger than that. But
I thought.
But he did a really good job.
He was so much more. Like, don't get me wrong, the version, the Bryan Singer version, looked more like Sabretooth from the cartoon, from the comic book. Sorry, but Liev Schreiber was like he knocked out the park. I mean, I just hope he comes back for the sequel, because I really thought he was the best thing about it.
Well, they're talking about it being the Silver Samurai.
Yeah, yeah. I just hope he plays a part. Taylor Kitsch was in that as well, wasn't he? He played, what's his name? Cardfellow, Gambit.
Yes. Oh, yeah. don't, because Gambit's my favourite X-Man. And
you didn't like him in that?
No.
No, Taylor really Kitsch didn't. Is not coming out too well on the end of this podcast. Sorry, Taylor, if you're listening. But I'm sure he is. He's fucking devastated, crying into his bags of money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wasn't first on that. I just, generally speaking, wasn't a fan of Wolverine or Origins. I thought it was a huge missed opportunity. There were bits and bobs I liked, but for the most part, I just wasn't a fan.
Will.i.am was in it.
Oh, he was gash. And they had the blob that felt like it was just forced in there. And what was the point in having...
And what they did to Deadpool.
Was it Ryan Reynolds?
It was Ryan Reynolds, who, honestly, I would love to see a good Ryan Reynolds Deadpool.
Yeah, because he would... I mean, he's like the smart ass, which Deadpool is.
Yeah,
and then what they do at the end of the film, they fucking do with it.
Why
of all the characters to remove their mouth... Why the fuck would you do it to Deadpool? That's almost as retarded as giving Snake Eyes a mouth in G.I. Joe. That's, that like, in terms of the two ends of the spectrum, in terms of adding and removing a mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, did you watch G.I. Joe the movie?
No. I was never a fan of G.I. Joe.
Oh, really. I was a massive fan when I was younger. And my favourite character was Snake Eyes, because he just looked pimp. He's like a futuristic cyborg ninja. And he's just wearing, like, a ninja mask most of the time.
Like Grey Fox from Metal Gear, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And for some fucking reason in the film, they gave him lips, and it just looked horrible. He doesn't speak, but they gave him lips. It was one of the worst movie decisions. I mean, it was a shit film anyway. But you take the coolest looking character and you make him look retarded in one fell swoop.
Speaking of Grey Fox and, you know, ninja suits, have you seen the new RoboCop?
Yeah, not sure how I feel about that.
I wonder, because, like, I always thought, like, don't get me wrong, I quite like the first RoboCop.
I love the film. Again, that's another one of my kind of... childhood. I grew up with
I mean, it always did look a bit of a budget movie, but...
Are you fucking serious? That looks amazing.
It hasn't aged well, I don't think.
I think it has.
I like it as a movie, but I don't think it aged well.
I think because it uses physical effects, I think it's held up really well. Like, the scene when Murphy gets smoked at the start of the film, that still looks so...
Wait, it's not Murphy, brutal. It's...
it's Alex Murphy. Alex Murphy.
That's the girl. Is it not?
No, Murphy's the RoboCop.
Oh, what's the name of the girl?
I can't even remember. Lois.
Oh, right.
No, Alex Murphy is RoboCop. And at the start of the film when the gang...
I just remember him as Peter Weller. That's
Peter Weller playing an accent. But is it Alex Murphy? It's definitely Murphy, because I remember referred to him as Murphy. But the bit at the start when he gets like shot to shit and blew off his hands, that is brutal. I remember watching that. It was one of the first 18-rated films I watched, and I was like 8. And around 8 years old, I finally got to watch all these 18 rated movies because my friends were like, yeah, you can deal with it. And I watched Die Hard, I was fine. I was fine with Aliens, with the exception of the bit when she's having the dream and the alien, you can see it stretched through her stomach. That used to freak me out. And the start of RoboCop used to freak me out when I just got fucking blasted.
I was a horrible big brother. Like, once I saw what a facehugger was, I told my little brother.
Yeah.
And then I said that there was one living under his bed.
Nobody wants a fucking face hugger living in their bed. Imagine this. It's kind of like a vagina, but with legs. A really angry vagina with legs and a tail, and it wants to be on your face. It's like, oh my God. I don't know what a vagina is because I'm 6, but this sounds really fucking scary.
That does suggest that quite a lot of gay gentlemen might have been influenced by Aliens, you know?
Aliens is full of cock and pussy. That sounds so crass, but those are the facts. H.G. Geiger. I mean, we were talking about this before. His artwork is all cock and pussy.
With
a little bit of boob.
It was the fact that when I was rearranging like my DVDs and books collection, the one that wouldn't fit is... like, my girlfriend is an artist, which is why she has all these art books, but she has like the Necronomicon, and it's all of Geiger's drawings.
See, when you say Necronomicon, I immediately think Klaatu, Baratu, Nicktu.
Yeah.
Evil Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
You well, know, that's from the Day of the Earth still, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Lines and stuff, sorry.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm just randomly proving how geeky I am, just checking out.
Yeah, but it's the fact that I couldn't find a place to put this book because it was so big.
So you've got
to
leave the alien like, rooms out there.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, this is the book that we often consult to the point where it's always out.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And it is, the thing is, the aliens, they basically have shiny cocks for heads. The facehugger is, you know, a vagina with legs, as we mentioned. It's all pretty filthy stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
But we're getting to that hour mark. I think it's reasonable to wrap things up now. But one thing I will say is, in terms of films for next year, quickly, Pacific Rim, man, I am so excited for that film.
Like, but the thing is, there's like nothing out of it yet. Like,
I know, but it's Guillermo del Toro with giant robots. It sounds like Robot Jocks, but with a huge budget and aliens. Yeah. Did you ever see that film in the 80s, Robot Jocks?
No.
I think it's out of print at the moment. I can't get another film. Chances are it probably hasn't aged that well, but it's one of those movies. It's like, it's the kind of film you can't believe wasn't made in Japan.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's basically just giant robots. I mean,
there's Godzilla as well.
Oh, Godzilla, by Gareth Edwards. Is it Gareth Edwards who's directing the guy who did Monsters?
All I know is that there is a new Godzilla
coming. I'm sure his name is Gareth Edwards. And he directed Monsters, which was an awesome movie. I actually went to see it with a couple of friends and completely split us. Me and my friend loved it. And the other two hated it. Because, you know, basically it's sold as being, funny enough, a monster movie.
Yeah.
And it's just not the case. It's all about, it was made for nothing. And so much of it is just them walking. It's the slowly building relationship of this guy and the girl who are kind of forced together under circumstances, and, you know, how they come together in these bizarre and stressful circumstances. And so much as they're surprising this is the sort of person that's the kind of world that's being to be part of that world that has gone on top because of their existence, basically. Monsters is a very interesting film, well worth watching. And based on that, I couldn't be more excited. I mean, I haven't seen anything about Godzilla, but I am
It's literally,
excited.
Like, I watched the trailer after, was it maybe Comic-Con, I think. And it was literally just, like, the Japanese, like, writing for Godzilla.
For Gojira or whatever it is.
Yeah, and then just the sound, you know, that high screech that Godzilla makes.
Yeah,
and I'm not a huge Godzilla fan, I watched the movie, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, oh, who directed that? The guy who did Independence Day and stuff?
Yeah, I can't remember, but it was Matthew Broderick and...
It was a bad...
And Jamiroquai did the soundtrack.
Yeah. I actually really liked the soundtrack, but the film, oh my God, and they left it open for a sequel. Thank God that didn't happen. I mean, that was so bad.
It's the fact that he's not even attacking Tokyo.
No, and the fact that he just disappears, it's just horrible. Roland Emmerich, so I had to look him online, he was going to do my head in. I mean, that guy just does visual effects, but with bollock stories. I mean, all his films are big, with the exception of maybe Independence Day.
Yeah.
But even that is pretty wank.
That's just purely Will Smith's kind of charisma pulling them through, I think, a little bit.
It's so, Welcome to Earth punches Nene in the face. You're not sure whether you want to cry or cheer, but Will Smith has that kind of charisma. But super looking forward to that. But next week, we'll probably... the idea was to get back into games. With the release of, as you can tell from the earlier chat, I am super excited about Pro Evo 2013. And with the impending release of FIFA, we'll be having a sports cast, basically. We're going to look at the history of sporting video games, the best and worst that the industry has had to offer, and of course, the ongoing feud between FIFA and Pro Evo. So that's what you've got to look forward to next week. That and, you know, probably more chat about my bowels and, you know, whatever else comes to mind. Nothing's out of bounds here. Nothing's out of bounds. But, you know, for once, I'm going to remember. Visit Brash Games. www.brashgames.co.uk. Look at that. Check out the site. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm on Twitter now. I know what I'm doing. It's at Brash Game. So I don't know what I'm doing. It's at Brashcast. We're on Twitter. I'm putting up regular posts on there now. So hit us up there. And
not just about his bowels, like about other stuff.
Yeah,
as well.
Hit up Man Ross here on.
Mr. Roguester.
Mr. Roguester. So check him out on Twitter. And if we're going to start doing some questions. I guess if people are interested and want to put in some questions. So you're going to hit us up at Twitter or you can hit us at an email at brashcast23@hotmail.com. In a previous episode, I think I told you a completely different email address. So apologies if you've tried. But as I said, brashcast23@hotmail.com. Send us over your questions and we'll try and get them up in the next episode. But Until then, we still haven't got to sign off.
No, we don't.
We keep saying we're going to plan this. The cat's here. You're going to sign a meow or something? We're not going to have meow as our sign off. No. Well, anyway.
We're not weeaboos.
Yeah, we're going to have more music for you at the end. It's going to be Anna Managuchi again. Now we're up on iTunes, which, by the way, download us. We're on iTunes. We're probably going to get sued soon. But Anna Managuchi, if you're listening, you know, get over it. We're just supporting the group. I love the music. I've bought the albums. I've paid the money. They should be allowed on the end of our Parashcast. Get over it, dude. So until next week, you know, catch you later.
Yeah, bye.